good evening, everybody. Welcome. Thank you for coming tonight to our congregational meeting. So we're gonna get started. I've been asked to open up with a song, so if you guys wouldn't mind standing up, so I'm not the only one standing. Let's sing together.
Praise Him, praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Sing, O earth, His wonderful love proclaim. Hail Him, hail Him, highest archangels in glory. Strength and honor give to His holy name. Like a shepherd, Jesus will guard His children. In His arms He carries them all day long. Praise Him, praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song. Our blessed Redeemer, for our sins He suffered, bled, and died. He, our rock, our hope of eternal salvation. Hail Him, hail Him, Jesus the crucified. Sound His praises, Jesus who bore our sorrows. Love unbounded, wonderful, deep, and strong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, ever in joyful song. Praise Him, Jesus our blessed Redeemer. Heavenly portals loud with hosannas ring. Jesus, Savior, reigneth forever and ever. Crown Him, prophet and priest and king. Christ is coming over the world victorious. Power and glory unto the Lord belong. Praise Him, tell of His excellent greatness. Praise Him, praise Him, ever in joyful song.
Thanks for singing. You can be seated. Brent, would you like to pray for us to get us started? Are you going to do it from back there?
I'll do it from back here.
All right.
So I just want to welcome everybody here this evening to the first this year, at least, of our evenings together. Actually, we're going to try to do a couple of these during the day, but we are during Sunday, during our Sunday school hour, adult discipleship hour. But we don't want to take all those up, and we seem to use quite a few of them. So thanks for coming out tonight. We just want to communicate well with you and celebrate together what God is doing in Newcastle. What a joy it is to be a part of what's happening here. And I just want to welcome everybody again. And before we actually get started, we'll have a word of prayer. So let's turn to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for our time together today at Your house. And we just thank You now for this evening. And we just want to praise You for all You're doing here at Newcastle. In spite of who we are, and just thank You for allowing us to be a part of the way You are blessing. So we just ask now that You come into our midst, know You're here, and we just ask You to bless our time this evening. Again, we just praise You and thank You, Jesus, for being our Savior. It's in Your name we pray. Amen.
Everyone again tonight. It's so good to have you all here. Have a good turnout. We're going to have four of our leaders come up here and share some brief presentations with you. As we're sharing, don't hesitate. Anytime you have a question, you can raise your hand. Don't hesitate to devour the snacks that are on the tables in front of you. That's what they're there for, to be enjoyed. We're just thrilled that you'd be able to come out tonight and join us. So if you all have a handout that you should have picked up at the back, if you didn't get one of those, I think there are more in the back. Feel free to go and get those. If you open that up, there is an agenda for our evening. Onside that first page that you just open up, it says agenda at the top. And so you'll see that we're going to have some brief presentations. We're going to try to keep it within 10 minutes each, guys. So you have my permission. If I go longer than, yeah, Mike's setting his clock. You should definitely do that because we know how this is going to go. So I'm going to give just a report on the state of our leadership to start us here. Then Mike is going to give a state of our giving. Sean will give the state of our discipleship. Kyle will give the state of our mission. And then Kyle is going to lead us in a time of corporate prayer together as a group here tonight. And then whatever time we have left, we want to allow for any questions and answers that you all have. This is Stump the Elder. I'm just going to sit and listen to these guys answer your questions. So we'll see how that works out tonight. No promises, actually. But so I'm going to start out with just a state of leadership. And I just want you to know what God is doing here at our church. So many of the things with our leadership happens behind the scenes. And we don't want that to be invisible to our church family when it comes to our leadership and our leadership training and our leadership development. And so a couple things just to highlight briefly here for you. First is we recognize that as a church family, we have gone through a lot of leadership transition in the last months and even years. So all the way back to Pastor Summer's retirement, Pastor Denny just retired here effective in January. We've had even just custodial staff with Janet Hurt resigning from her position. And so we're seeking right now to take in applications for her position and hoping to do interviews this week and come up with a new custodian. So we just recognize there is a lot of change in our leadership. And all of that to still recognize that we're at peace and that God is blessing us and that we're united. And it's a gift. It's just absolutely a gift. And we know that we don't deserve that, but we're just so thankful for what God is doing, even in preserving unity among all of the leadership transition that we've experienced the last couple of years. And we just want to say thanks, Lord, for that. So that's the first thing, just to highlight the grace of God to us in all of these significant transitions. We're very, very thankful for that. Also want you to know that we're in the midst of obviously hiring, or recruiting, I should say, an associate pastor of music and worship. And as you know, we've been in that process for almost 2 years. Now, we've taken about 3 months off to hire an associate pastor of care and discipleship, another significant transition to have a new pastor. I should have noted that earlier. Why didn't you speak up? You got a mic too. So, oh, it's off. Oh, well, put it on. That's great. So yeah, I mean, to have a new pastor of a church, that's really significant. We're thankful for Sean. But so we took about 3 months of our search off to hire him. We took about 3 months off to hire Lisa Wilmert as our new office manager. Those are some key positions in the life of the church. So thankful for both of those positions. But we just want you to know we are continuing to trust God for the timing of when he will bring us the man of his choosing to serve as our associate pastor of music and worship. We are so thankful for Tom. Tom is doing double duty right now as our facility director and as our worship leader. So thankful for him. But we are praying that God would continue to bring the right man at his time to join our church family here as our associate pastor of music and worship. So I know Rob Hushin's here. He's the chairman of that search team. So if you have any questions about that tonight, feel free to ask. We can tell you more about that. How much time do I have left?
Doing good.
Oh, I'm doing good. That's wow. So one other thing I want to highlight, since I got time yet, when it comes to the state of our leadership, is our leadership development process, our training. We currently have 4 elders in development, or 5. We actually have 5 right now, elders in development, and we have, I believe, 5 deacons in development. We are so thrilled to be a church that cares about training and raising up future leaders in the church. And so continue to pray for that. Some of that goes on behind the scenes, but pray for God to raise up leaders who love Christ, who love his word, and who love his church. That is a significant, significant work in this church. We want you to know, we are in the process right now of asking another batch of elder and deacon development candidates to pray about joining that process. And we don't know which of them will, you know, say yes to that or say no to that at this time, but we're in the process of approaching a new batch. This will be the first batch that actually has female deacons in development. So if you notice, we preached about a year ago on female deacons and why we believe that female deacons is God's design for the church and still serving under the spiritual authority of male elders in the church. But this will be the first batch of actually inviting female deacons in development. So be praying for that process. If you have questions about that, be asking questions. Now's the time to be praying and asking. We know that's a new thing for our church, and so we just want you to be aware that that will likely start to happen here as God raises up these ministry leaders, these female ministry leaders in our church to be developed by our elders in that way as female deacons. So I think that's what I had to just share with you on in terms of our leadership. How much time is left for?
5 minutes.
So we have about 5 minutes. What questions do you have right now about our leadership and the state of our leadership at Newcastle? Do you have any questions right now that we could help address before I give this over to Mike Rassi for the state of our giving? Yes, Robert.
You said there were five elders in development.
Yes. Okay, elders in development. The question is, who are our current elders in development? So our current ones are Chris Mettleman, Mike Rassi, Sean Lewis, Matt Miller, and Cameron Dobbins. How many is that? Five. Wow, it actually worked. So pray for these men. You know, it's thrilling. You see these men cycle through the elder prayer time on Sunday mornings. But these men are working hard and being developed and coached and mentored. And it's a thrilling thing to be part of a church that is raising up future leaders. Thank you. What other questions do you have? Yes, Nancy.
The elders, who are the deacons?
Who are the deacons in development? So the deacons in development right now are, help me, I'm going to struggle more on this one. Kevin Garman. Joe Beeney, Chris Campus. I need help. I didn't come prepared.
Ben Holman.
Ben's already a deacon. He's not in development. He's over development. he's not a DID. He's a DOD. Which is much better than a deacon under development, which is a dud. But anyway.
That's a different set.
That's a different group of leaders in development. I'm forgetting the others. So I apologize. Somebody else can help me on this. So those are still being approached, and so we're not ready to present that. The question was, who is our female deacons? And so this is just the first batch of candidates that the elders are now approaching. So they'll have to pray through that, think through that, and then determine whether God's calling them to that or not, and then we'll announce that at the appropriate time. Yeah, good question, though. That's great. Any other questions about the state of our leadership? Yes, Diane. Excellent. A good question. So the question was, what is a general, can you generally describe the process of the elder in development training and the deacon in development training? So the general process is that we seek to develop men, and in the case of deacons, now it will be women as well, in the head, heart, hands, and home of Christ likeness. So the head would be doctrine, you know, biblical doctrine. And so there's books to read, there's articles to read and to engage with. The hands would be actually practicing the work of being an elder or a deacon. So that's why we have our leaders in development actually serve on teams with our leaders so that they can actually be practicing the work alongside of us. Because sometimes you don't know how you're going to respond as a leader until you're actually placed in that kind of position. And so they serve on leadership teams with us. As you know, we have 8 different leadership teams. In fact, your handout is organized by each of these prayer requests are organized by each of the 8 teams tonight. And so our leadership candidates are spread throughout those teams. And then, so that's hands. Well, for example, some of our elders in development are asked to sit in on baptism interviews with the elders or membership interviews or go on hospital visits with the elders. Those are the hands kind of development. The heart is faith. So we ask for some accountability on how they're doing with their prayer life and how are they praying with their family and how are they growing in their understanding of dependence and humble dependence and prayer life as a leader. And so head, heart, hands, and home. And so then the relationships. So how are they growing in biblical relationships and so there's some articles we have them read. There's some discussions that we have with them about what is the relationships of a biblical elder look like. We do some training with peacemaker ministries about conflict resolution and how to do that as a leader. The only significant difference between the deacon in development training and the elder in development training is that the elders are responsible for teaching the church. And so they have more training on teaching and preaching that isn't required for the deacons. Does that help answer the question? Okay. I probably went over my 10 minutes.
You just hit it.
I just hit it. Okay, so now I'd like to introduce Mike Rassi, the state of giving at Newcastle Bible Church.
All right, I'm going to start mine because now that I just poked at him, I can't go over. Am I on? Can you hear me back there?
Super.
Okay, this is obviously my first time doing this here, so be patient with me. But so in terms of, there's a couple things that I had here for my agenda. Really, the first one is just to say thank you. You as the people of Newcastle, in terms of stewardship where I serve, you are God's engine of this thing, right? We understand that the funds come to you from God's hand, but they come to us from you. We don't have an iPhone division or a small car division that makes us money to do things. And so it all comes from you guys. And so I just want to say thank you. You've been very...
Move up your mic. Mike, move up your mic. Kyle, just hold it for him.
This whole Doug thing, I've heard it before.
Just put it.
All right. Maybe I would just hold it. Now I'm all totally thrown off my game. You guys just. But I just want to say thanks to you guys because I know it feels like there's always something else to do, right? There's just never an end of there's money to be given for this thing, and then wow, boy, here's another thing, and we're asking for money, and I realize that although that's kind of the nature of ministry, it's really never done, right? As long as we are here in God's world doing His work, it won't be. Right, we will not be done doing things, and those things require money. And so I just want to say thank you, that we appreciate your giving, your generous spirit, your patience with us as we work through wisdom and using the funds. There will always be one more thing to give to. I'm here to guarantee that that's probably true. But that's part of the exciting thing of following what God has for us to do. Is seeing what that next thing is. Next thing is the Burn the Mortgage campaign. It's been really exciting. So we were here in November and we talked about that. We kicked that off. By the time that was done, we got $122,000 in pledges from folks that turned in pledges. At this point, we have received $149,000.
That is awesome. That is glory to God.
Which is really exciting. I mean, that's so obviously people that didn't pledge have given money. I know, based on my house, that we've only done half of ours, right? I have not got my other half of what I pledged done yet. So I do want to say that if you've not had the opportunity to participate yet, please do, right? I know, again, we're over the pledges and we didn't keep track of those, so I don't know who did what or who gave what amount, but please do. If this was something you had thought about and maybe just didn't get to it, and or maybe you're being reminded now, or maybe somehow you have never heard of it, and this is the first time, give. Anyway, we would love to have that. So at this point, I don't know any names because I don't get into that stuff, but our records show that 60, at this point, of our 250 giving units have participated. So there's 190 giving units that so far are missing out. And so if that happens to be you, you haven't had a chance, again, whatever the reason is, I don't know who you are, but if God lays this on your heart. So just to give you an idea, if those 190 people each gave $500, we'd be done, right? The mortgage balance is 108, 109.
That's amazing.
And so, that's awesome. Or 100 of you could give $1,000. Or if you've just been waiting for us to get to 100,000 so you could write one check, stuck a round number.
I might even
that
dance.
That will be coming, right? I mean, that opportunity is coming. So if you're out there, you don't have to let me know, but you could. So I can tell you when we get there, and then you just wipe that whole thing out. But in seriousness about that, my intent really for this is we'd love to have it paid off by May 31st. That was our goal. As of May 31st, we're going to stop. I mean, you obviously can still give money toward it, but we won't bother you about it anymore. We're going to stop talking about it, and we'll deal with what we have left at that point. But I would like to make a significant push, just knowing that there are lots of folks. I've had a number of you talk to me and say, boy, I intended to get it done, and I just haven't yet. Please do. Please continue to participate. That's a really strategic thing for us as we move through this budgeting process. Finally, that just a note on the budgeting process. We're at the point where we've asked the teams to start to give us their budgets, their plans for spending for the new fiscal year. As is often the case, our team's vision for the ministry they would like to do is in excess of the funds that we have to allocate to it. So it will be a process where we work through as elders and look at the funds we have that you all have provided and what we're going to do with it. And so we're working very hard to make sure that we keep you guys informed about where your money goes. I know it's important for you to know how we use it, and we try very hard to be wise and to use it in the ways that you would have it to be spent. And so I'm going to try, as we move through these processes, to help you see not only where it goes, but to help you see that if we get more money, where it will go. Because we have that, right? We're in a position where we could do more things if God provided the funds to us. And so we'll try very hard to be open and transparent about what those are, what our visions are for that, so that if those funds come in, that you know where they will go. So I'm going to stop talking so that you can ask a question, if you'd like to ask a question. Seeing none.
So can I ask a question?
I don't know if that's legal. And I don't have very much time left.
Okay. We'll save it for later.
I have 3 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes. Just give a highlight of how much was given in 2019 calendar year. And then if the mortgage is paid off, how much funds that frees up? That'd be interesting too.
Okay. So you gave in calendar, and this is This year's been a little bit messy because we transitioned in the middle of the year to a fiscal year, so we sort of had a short period. But just, you probably remember setting the budget for 2019, and so in calendar 2019, you gave $1.1 million to the general fund, and that was right, used for, there's some notes here in your program about where that went. In addition to that, there was almost $200,000 more in special offerings and funds for Go Partners and specific needs. And so as a group, Newcastle gave almost $1.3 million in calendar 2019.
That's right. Glory to God.
That's worth some time.
That's great. That's awesome.
For sure it is. You're an extremely generous group of people, and it provides for a significant amount of ministry to be done here. And that is not lost on us. It really isn't. There's not an adequate way to express that to you. So I guess that's why I keep saying it over and over again. But we really are grateful for the extent that for your generosity. There was a period where we had a lot of those special exit offerings, and there was always... You rose to the task of it, and so it is a sweet thing to be able to lead a group of folks like you. And so I just want to say, I want to end my time 45 seconds early by saying again, thank you.
No pressure.
For your generosity. Do you want to be kind? I kind of assumed that as my role here this morning. That one counts. So I'm going to be done with mine, but I do want to say thank you. If you have any questions, please ask. You can ask me or approach somebody about it. Oh, you asked about if we do get the mortgage paid off, we're currently spending $60,000 a year, which is about what it would take to pay for a worship pastor. So it's nice that it works out that way. But so if we do get this retired, we'd be in a position where that's the funds it would freed up. So we're heading towards that. We've made great strides, even if we don't get any more. We've made, now I got to be done, great strides toward it. And so thank you again for all you've done there.
All right. So, Tom, is my microphone? Yep. There we go. All right. Well, I am excited to be here and thankful to be part of this church and to provide some amount of leadership within it. It's been just a joy for Christy and I to be here since June of last year and to get to know many of you. So it's been just a really sweet thing. Well, Mike had just spoken about the finances and the ministries I oversee. Here's some of where a lot of those finances go. There's the adult discipleship team, and you might not be familiar with these different teams. What are the different ministries that they oversee? The adult discipleship team would oversee the men's ministries, the women's ministries, life groups, the adult electives, and seniors ministry, phase four. So those five different ministries in the church, adult discipleship, ADT, really oversees. Each of these discipleship ministries really exists so we could further equip you in your faith so that you can become more and more like Jesus Christ. And that's really our goal of what ADT does. Tom, is the microphone?
You can use my microphone.
Okay, there we go. I'm just hearing some, I think we're okay. Well, we're thankful, as I said in the bulletin that you see, thankful for the women's ministry. I just want to highlight a few things that stand out to us. The women's ministry, you see so many different women who are pouring into the lives of other women, whether it's through the Refresh event or through the women's Bible studies. Women's Bible studies have about 85 different women that are involved in that. And one thing we're very blessed with here at our church are women who are gifted in teaching. That's a delight to see that. So those of you that do teaching amongst to other women, thank you for pouring yourselves into doing that. There takes a lot of preparation and a lot of time and a lot of shepherding that goes into that. So thank you for pouring yourselves and using your gifts that way. Mm-hmm. Another ministry with the ADT, I hear a lot of encouraging stories about life groups. We have 15 different life groups, almost 200 200 people in our church that are in a different life group. And I'm thankful to see that, but then to hear some of the stories. Just last year, I was visiting someone in the hospital, and I asked him about his life group, and he said, you know, my life group leader is always calling me while I'm in the hospital, checking in on me. And I asked him about the life group, and he just talked all about his life group while he was there, saying all the way that the people in his life group are coming around side and ministering to him while he's in the hospital. And that's not an isolated story either. I could talk about each life group and stories I've heard pretty much with every one of them. In different ways, people have said, well, I'm part of this life group, and my life group leader is doing this, and people in my life group are doing this for me. So we have this uncommon community in our different life groups, and I just love seeing how we're building upon that. So keep doing what you're doing if you're in a life group ministering to one another. Another ministry to highlight with this would just be our adult electives. I'm excited about just the teachers that we have that are preparing different electives and teaching on, whereas Kevin does a lot of expository preaching on Sunday mornings, the electives really provide a chance to do some topical teaching to hit upon just different topics that you really can't hit upon too easily in the pulpit. It's only 52 weeks a year, so by having the electives, we can have multiple classes that are hitting upon a number of topics that Kevin's not necessarily able to just break away from Matthew and get to. So we're thankful for that. Thankful for all of you that are teaching and involved in the electives in different capacities. Prayer request for ADT would be the Men's Deer Fry that's coming up on March 7th. And I'm excited about this event because it's an opportunity just to reach this community in a very unique way. I don't know of any church that does a deer fry. So it's really a neat thing. Very creative, and I know you've been doing it for many years, but it's new to me. So I think it's just a very creative way to reach the community around here. So be praying for that. I want to ask, we're going to have, making a little bit of change from where it was maybe a week ago. What we'd like to see is table leaders who had just volunteered to give their testimony during that time. So not every man that comes is going to, you know, have to give his testimony, but table leaders. If you'd like to be a leader of a table, it'd be seven, eight guys at your table, and you just have the opportunity to tell them what Christ has done in your life. So if that excites you, see me or see Matt Miller. We'd love to talk with you more. We'd love to have about 40 different table leaders, you know, sharing their testimonies at different tables. So with prayer and care, the second ministry that I'm more involved, the second team that I'm involved with, we have responsibility for the benevolence ministries of the church, the biblical counseling ministries, First Prayer, the Resource Center, and am I missing something? Yeah, the visitations, care visitations that we have. One thing I'm praising God for is just that the recent biblical counseling conference that Mike really helped orchestrate and has been spearheading, we had about 30 different people, more than 30 people in our church that went to that, and we currently have about 10 to 12% of Newcastle has gone to one of these biblical counseling conferences. So that is just, that's amazing to hear that. That's something that's not normal. God is really at work in that way, and it's part of just creating a culture of discipleship where you not only just kind of have a lot of maybe knowledge, Bible knowledge, but those conferences really help. How do we apply that knowledge? How do you use that from one person to another? Somebody's going through a problem and start kind of thinking through a little bit more. How do I minister God's word in the midst of that? So I'm very excited to see so many people going to those conferences and then giving testimony of what they learned in those conferences and then talking about how I want to be an advocate or an observer and just help in other ways. And that's a really exciting thing. So I want to encourage you, if you're not, I want to encourage those of you who've gone to that and you're familiar with counseling, keep doing that. Those of you that haven't, well, talk to me, talk to Mike Hansen, talk to anybody who's done some counseling in the church. They would love to get you involved in as an observer, where you're able to see kind of what goes on in the counseling room. Mm-hmm. We're thankful we can provide the resource of the month to you, and then also just have a resource center. That's a really neat thing, and there's a lot of stories that I hear, just people that say, you know, I got this book, I was reading it, and it really ministered to my heart in, you know, a whole bunch of different ways. That's not a normal thing that all churches just have resource centers. So I just really thank God we're able to devote some resources just to providing books, really good books, to minister to all of you. And if there's anything that you ever see on the shelves, they're yours. You can run over there and take that. That's fine. So I encourage you to do that. Sometimes people ask me, well, what do I owe you? Or what do I, you don't owe anything, just take it. You're not stealing, just go with it.
As long as you read it.
As long as you read it. That's right, don't just fill your bookshelf up.
Yeah.
That's great. And so finally, I'm thankful to God for our care team that faithfully ministers to really those that are sick and even those that are dying that are in either nursing homes, either in hospice, some are at home, but they're not able to be here at Newcastle. And one reason I highlight this is because it's something that God's really impressed upon my heart since the time we've been here. But if you want to learn how to love people, there's few ministries that will really teach you about love to the degree of a care ministry, where you're going to those that are sick, those who are dying, and just loving upon them. That can be a difficult ministry, but it can also be just a very exciting, much-needed, incredible opportunity. It can be a great blessing in your own life. But if you really want to grow in your ability to love other people, I want to encourage you to get involved with our care ministry. We have so many opportunities, and we definitely would love to see more people in the church just say, I'd like to do some visitations here and there. So if you'd like to do that, just please talk to me afterwards or even talk to Pastor Summers as well. It's been a delight working with him a little bit with that care ministry. I really appreciate him. Well, a prayer request, and I'll turn it over to questions, just that we continue to develop a culture of discipleship at Newcastle. By this, I don't mean we're going to start another program, nothing like that, but a culture where just the DNA of Newcastle are people ministering to other people, the Word of God, that we would grow in Christ-likeness. That'd be my prayer request for the prayer and care team. Well, Mike, how much time do I got?
You're out.
Okay. And Kyle, that was perfect. No questions.
If you have a question, you can still ask it.
Okay. Are there any questions related to ADT or prayer and care? Perfect. Well, it's a joy to minister.
Yeah. We'll also have time for question and answer after we pray. But I'm real thankful that we will have, after what I am presenting, we'll have a time where we can pray together. Psalm 116 says, I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclines his ear to us, therefore I will call on him as long as I live. And that's just a really good reminder to me to be joyful and to be thankful for all that God has done, all his mighty deeds and wondrous works that he's done just in the outreach leadership team, which deals a lot with our global partners. And I'm so thankful. I get so many praises and answers to prayer. And what I'm thankful about this is I'm able to present that to you guys tonight. And I don't always get to do that. I just had an email last week from Sandro and Veronica, who we work with on our Ecuador trips down there with Al McElhern. And he was saying I was able to go on a dental caravan and preach the gospel because of the dental materials our church provided for him. And that's something he's able to do as a side thing. Or the Living Alternatives over, which is a crisis pregnancy center out in Pekin, they just closed on their new building that they have, and they're going to move in next week. And it's just a wonderful thing that we're a part of that. Our church is a part of it. What we give, what you guys are giving, God is using, and it's making an impact in Pekin. It's making an impact in Ecuador. And what we have with this Reaching Farther year that we're trying to do this year, I'm just so thankful how this all works out, because I was just thinking this weekend, our outreach leadership team, how things are fitting together so well, and we're not that smart.
It's true.
And it's just, how does this all work together? And it just, I'm so thankful because we are a praying church. Our team is always very prayerful and mindful on that. And that's the Holy Spirit moving through our church. And that's how God wants to move. And when you rely on him, he answers us, because we're not that smart. And we don't have that much money. But God does. And so it's so thankful. So I'm thankful for this opportunity. We're going to have a lot of global outreach trips this year. I'm thankful for Camp Nathaniel trip. Brother B and Bonnie Bussey are going to be leading that up in April 19th. anybody who's interested in wanting to go down there in Kentucky, it's a wonderful ministry there. Alan Garrison is leading up the Ivory Coast trip. It's going out there, and that's going to be coming up this summer. Mark Hutchinson is going to lead a Spread Truth trip to New York to be able to evangelize to that community. There's also some neat sports ministry teams. That's going to be in July 19th, as well as Pastor Scott and Justin Delagrange are going to do a trip to Ecuador where we're going to minister to the missionaries. They have a SIM missions agency is having a conference down there, and we're going to come alongside and try and encourage them through some teaching down there. So I'm excited about that at the end of July, too. So, you know, God's moving through that with these mission trips, and we're trying to do something a little bit different with that. Rather than individuals trying to raise their own support, thinking it's trying to get away from this is what I need to raise for my trip, but rather thinking this as our whole church is sending them, we would like our whole church to generously give to that. So what we want to do is try and get away from soliciting the church, having each member be solicited numerous times, maybe even with these trips, but rather do special offerings where we're going to do an Ivory Coast offering, special offering, where we can all generously give for that. Now, you can still, these individual people on the team can solicit outside the church, obviously, but we want the church to take ownership for that and to give generously through that. So look for that. It's a little bit different thinking, but we think it'll be really helpful that our church takes ownership for that, so for each of that, when we do the Spread Truth trip or the Ecuador trip as well. Mm-hmm. Another thing that God is moving that's really exciting is our global outreach care teams. So we have 6 sent global partners, and that's Amanda King, Dustin and Becca King, Shane and Tanya Knapp, Scott and Teresa Cruzzi, Gabby and Mateo Alzante, and then K&H in Northern Africa. And they each, God has raised up a team for each one of those. And I'm so thankful because we've had numerous meetings already just talking this through. Each and every one of those teams are really excited about that and how to care well for our global partners. Because I have a lot of contact with numerous global partners all throughout the world, not only who we support, but who I'm not involved with, just in all the opportunities that I had in my conversations with them. Almost all the time, I would say probably in the 90%, they're disconnected from their sending church back home. And they don't feel connected. They don't, when they send out their support letters, they don't even know if their church is even, anybody in their church is even reading them. That's the feeling they have. I don't know if that's true or not, but that's their perception, that's what they're feeling. And so in order, how can we as a church love them and encourage them well? And so forming these teams up, I think really will put threads throughout our whole church of excitement on the importance of caring for and loving, and then most importantly, praying for our global partners. Because they're on the front line of ministry there. They are doing the hard work. They're tilling new, fresh soil there as they plant the gospel, and we want to see that change. So we're excited about these care teams that are just starting, so they're just kind of building up. Pastor Kevin keeps using, we're building the airplane as it's flying, mm-hmm. And so we might have some hiccups along the way. So, but it's going really well. I'm extremely excited about that. And then also our vision, our reaching farther vision for this year. I'm so excited about the opportunities that we have for that. We did a survey at the beginning of the year, if you remember. Was it January 5th? With that. And it said on there, how many spiritual conversations have you had in the last year? And I think it was like 2 spiritual conversations, about 2 spiritual conversations in the last year. And then how many gospel presentations have you had with an unbeliever in the last year? And it was an average of about one and a half. So I'm really thankful that we're doing that. But I think what we have, this is a great opportunity. I look at this is low-hanging fruit for us to just do a little bit thinking and a little bit of just encouragement with that, to where we can easily, with God's help, we can interact with our unsaved friends, our unsaved family, our unsaved coworkers, and then what we're doing with the Art of Neighboring, right? Our unsaved
neighbors.
So I think of my unsaved neighbors that I interact with, two, and I haven't had a spiritual conversation with either of them, and then I have so many others, and so I look at that as I'm reading The Art of Neighboring, and it's like, oh, this is something where I can really do with, and it's uncomfortable and it's hard, but I can do that, and I'm thankful that I'm already hearing testimonies of God already moving through this church through us together praying and reading The Art of Neighboring. And so that's God answering our prayers right there. And I'm hearing that. And then what we're trying to work on is to do a better job of getting those out to the church. And I think we had one today. I wasn't here at church, did we? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Mike and Kara.
Mike, okay, yeah. Good. So I wasn't here Sunday. I was at a conference. So I'm thankful for that. And so that's great that God is answering our prayers right now. So we can praise God for that when we pray. And we can praise God for these teams being raised up. We can praise God for our desire to go out, and our church generously backs these teams that can go out and do that and have so much impact for God's glory and expanding his kingdom. So there's just so much to be thankful for. But we need to keep praying. We need to keep pushing forward. And so after The Art of Neighboring, as we read this book together, Gabby, I'm good with time, right? Gabby and Mateo, no.
Gabby, talk fast.
Gabby and Mateo Alzante are going to come here and do, for second quarter, teach an Art of Neighboring next steps. So I'm really excited about how we can get into the community with that for those who have taken to the Art of Neighboring as well. Any questions? So is there any questions with that? I could go on and on. Like I said, this is just a wonderful opportunity with all that God had, all his mighty deeds and wondrous works that he's doing already. And then I'm excited about what God can do through our church as we keep praying and growing with him throughout this year. And we can look back and just be in awe and amazed at his Holy Spirit and what he can do as we keep trusting in him together and encouraging one another. Mm-hmm. So, any questions? Beth?
The elders or the ADT team have any further update on Ben and Shelby? Is he back to strength 100%? Where are they? When will they be home? What's happening? Do you know anything further than what we've had on our prayer list?
Yeah, mm-hmm. So I've been texting back and forth with him.
Can you repeat the question?
Fip was asking, Pastor Summers was asking about Ben and Shelby. So if you remember, they were on our first care team, and he got sick on the trip going up there, so he didn't quite make it to North Africa. So they were so saddened and bummed out about that, and he was trying so hard, but he was so sick. K&H, they were really bummed out about that too. So he was really sick in Germany, and he was he's better now. He's able to go out, and they're kind of seeing some of the sights of Germany, but he's not going too far. And it would have cost, they were still debating whether to still go because he wanted to go so badly, but the tickets was going to be more than the whole tickets just to go from that one length and back. It was crazy how I don't understand airline tickets. But, and then they would only stay there for 2 days with him. And so we were like, just relax, you won't be sick, and then try again, because he has a flexible job. So they're excited to want to do that again, and they're going to be a lot. So he's still a little bit sick, but to change his tickets and fly back sooner was going to be a lot of money too. So they're just going to stay there. It would have been cheaper just to stay there and fly back on Tuesday, which they normally were, because airline tickets are just uncomprehensible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but he is much better. So thank you for your prayers on that. Okay. Well, we'll have more time for question and answers, but what I'd like to do is really commit to praying here. And you guys, what's nice is we're already in our small group with our tables. And if you look here, we have each of our eight teams that we have, and then we have praises and stuff to be thankful for and prayer requests that we can pray for from each of these. So we have the personal team, the prayer and care team, the outreach team, children's team, worship team, adult discipleship team, and then the student team on the bottom. You have to flip to the back for stewardship team, so don't forget that. So what I'd like you all to do is, we have a significant amount of time. We've got about 20 minutes here, so this will be a really special time, a time where we can come together and really pray. So what I'd like you to do is just one person to pray, and just pick one of these teams, okay, one of these eight, and then you can pray for that however God leads you, and then you, when you're done praying, have somebody else pray for a different team so that we can kind of spread around, okay? If you're uncomfortable praying, just say pass. That's no problem. I know it's really difficult, but I would encourage you, if you could pray just a sentence, that would be a big blessing to you and a big blessing to your table as well, if you could just pray a sentence and just say, Lord, I please pray and give strength to the leadership of the worship team. And that will be very helpful and beneficial to even do that. And then just go around. For those of you who only have three or four, that means you get to pray more. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing and a wonderful blessing. So just keep going around. And if you happen to finish really fast, then do it again. That is legal. Okay? So what we want to do is what I don't want you to do is after like 10 minutes, stop and just start chatting. Keep praying and pray again. And then expand the scope. This is the whole scope. We're praying for the whole ministry of our church right here. So think of all the ministries of the church and pray for, be thankful for. We have a lot of things to be thankful for. So we can do it again and keep going. And then Sean, you want to just kind of, when Sean prays to kind of close us, then we'll stop and then we'll have question and answer. Thank you. Okay, you may commence.
Our Heavenly Father, thank you for this night and the time that you've given us to see the different ways you are at work in this place and amongst us. I thank you for the different ministries, for the different team leaders, for those that are involved in serving on all of these teams. I thank you for your Holy Spirit who empowers us to actually produce fruit. Lord, I pray that just as I look ahead and we are reminded of one day we are going to be before you at your throne, worshiping you, bowing before you, casting our crowns at your feet, forever adoring you in eternal adoration and service with perfect joy and peace and harmony with one another. But in this world, it is hard, but we look forward to that day. May we not lose sight of our hope, our blessed hope. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, let us encourage one another with these words. Encourage one another in light of the fact, Jesus, you are coming. Encourage one another that this world is not how things will always be. We are citizens of another kingdom. And Father, I pray that we would be a church that understands that all the more and ministers to one another all the more as we see the day approaching. I thank you for Newcastle. Continue to bless this church and keep it. Cause your face to shine upon it. Give us peace. And may we bring great glory to your name as we serve. Amen.
So we tentatively set 7:30 as a dismissal time for tonight. So that leaves about 15 minutes. And if we need to go longer, we can. But we have at least 15 minutes here for just a question and answer. Obviously, not all the elders and not all the elder teams are represented by the four of us up here. We just selected four different areas of highlight, but we first planned to have all the elders give an update, and we thought we'd be here for like 2.5 hours. So we tried to kind of just give some highlights of these teams, but this is a time now for you to ask questions about any of the ministries of this church, no matter if it's directly related to one of us that are up here or not. We want to help you get answers for what God's Spirit is doing in our church. So it can be related to anything we've already said or anything else. We got a question in the back. Rob. Thank you very much. So Mike Hansen is even here. So thank you for helping us with other DIDs. Mike Hansen and Sean Link is one of our pastoral interns here and is being developed in that way as well. So thank you for helping. Yes, Janet.
Speaking of Sean, how long will he be here as an intern? I know
he's been doing some, having some fun stuff over here. Yes. So the question is, Sean Link, and how long is his internship with us, and what's the timing of that? Because we know that he's actually been doing some pulpit supply at other churches and those type of things. Obviously, he desires to be a pastor. So this is a joy of being a church that is developing leaders, is that we are willing to invest heavily in men like Cameron Dobbins and in men like Sean Link, men that may or may not end up serving their ministry at Newcastle. Probably likely will not be at Newcastle, but we're pouring in sacrificially and intensively so that whatever time we have with them will be a tremendous blessing to them as they go and serve wherever God would call them to serve. And so the elders we are in the middle of 2020 with Sean Link, and the elders have offered an internship through the end of 2020. So it's kind of a 1 year at a time internship. And so we're in the middle of that. But as he would get opportunities or as things would change with him, then obviously we would be willing to talk about that. There's no hard and fast, you have to be here until the end of 2020. But yeah, yes, he has good stuff. Keep praying for both Sean and Sean Link and Cameron Dobbins. Both of them are pastoral interns here that are a tremendous blessing to our church. What other questions? Yes, Mandy.
As far as the praise and worship leader or minister, how many applications versus interviews and how long? Like, do we see that, like, you're assuming this, or they're just going to help us build, or?
Yeah. Great question. So I'm kind of answering these. Is that okay? I mean, these are the ones that I feel like are directed. I'm going to answer it, but I'm not trying to cut you guys out. I'm doing all the talking. That's why it was a funny joke earlier that said I wasn't going to talk. So the question was, how many applications have we already received, and how many candidates are we interacting with in regards to the worship pastor position, and what's the timing that we would see? So Rob Hushin is here. Rob, how many different applications have we received in total, would you say? That's what I was going to say, close to 20, maybe on the high end of total applications that we received like in 2 years. So that we have, the team has worked tremendously hard. We've reviewed, Kerry Mall has helped us review over 1,000 resumes. We have pursued a number, I mean, dozens of centers of influence, seminary chairman of worship departments, that type of things at seminaries. We've done a lot of work. The reality is that we're looking for a very unique fit. We're looking for somebody who's both a pastor who can preach and who's good at music. So it's you can find worship leaders and you can find pastors. But to find that unicorn in between is actually very rare. And it's interesting for our team to note that some of the seminaries have noticed this is a gap in our evangelical church development. There's not a lot of development in this area. And so a number of seminaries have actually started new programs. Midwestern Baptist Theological Seminary in Kansas City just has a new curriculum they just announced called Musical theologians. So they're trying to develop singing elders, exactly what we're looking for. So these men are out there. They do exist, but it is a rare thing. And so it is something that we're willing to trust the Lord's timing with, you know. And at this point in time, we continue to be faithful. We continue to trust that if we're doing the hard work of making contacts and reaching out and keeping it on all the job boards and going to the conferences and trying to recruit, that at the right time, God will bring us the right man of his choosing. So is that enough of an unclear answer? We don't know how God will provide, but yeah, we're very thankful for Tom, you know, and Tom is hired full time as our facility director, but we've asked him to give, you know, to cut back his facility director hours so that he can give whatever are needed for the worship leading on Sunday, so he can still kind of fit both jobs into that one position. But obviously, as the weather changes and the facility director becomes more and more challenging with the weather and all the outside responsibilities, you know, it's going to be harder and harder for Tom to do both of those jobs. So please be praying. I mean, please, we'd love to tell you. I mean, right now we don't have any candidates on the line, and we kind of have an interesting thing where we get like one or two candidates, maybe a month, and we start talking to them and they're a different doctrine than us. Or we start talking to them and their references don't come through. Or we start talking to them, they're like, oh, you're in Illinois. I don't want to move to Illinois. You know, and I mean, so it's one of those things where it's like, we like, boom, there they go. And we're trusting God, you know, that boom, there they go. And we've helped some other people. We've helped some of our candidates go to other churches, you know. It's not about us. And so sometimes we're not the best fit for them, but we know somewhere that is a better fit for them. And so we've helped connect some people. So God's working. We're being faithful, but we're trusting his timing. So keep praying. Good questions. Yes, Tom.
Consider doing an internship or something like that?
Yeah, we have considered. The question is, have we considered doing an internship? And so that's something that our team continues to think about. Could we bring somebody along that has the raw materials, but maybe still needs to finish seminary or something like that? And so, yes, we're open to those ideas, but we don't want our quality of our experience on Sunday morning to decrease. We want to keep pushing forward and advancing. So yeah, we're open to creative solutions, but trust in the Lord. Rob, anything to add on any of this? Okay. Kelly.
Hopefully you can hear me. So I just finished at the Biblical Conference, which was excellent, by the way. I recommend that to anybody. But Steve Vars, on his, I think it was February, the evening of February 12th, he spoke about deacons in his church and how they have 42 deacons, and they like those deacons to touch bases with at least every member
You want to take that?
If that's not what you would like to see happen, what role do you see the deacons playing towards that end?
Good. If you can repeat her question.
Yeah, her, thank you. That was excellent. Her question had to do with Steve Viers, pastor of the church that's in Lafayette, Faith in Lafayette. They use their deacons in a lot of ways as far as ministering to all the different members of the body. And between all of the, I think you said 42 deacons? 42 deacons in their church that are able to reach, I think it's a church of over about 2,000 people or so. It's a very large church. So you have a lot of deacons, and they between the 42, they're able to reach all the different people. So they have some kind of a contact with every person in the church. I think that's awesome. So personally, I would love to see that happen. As far as with deacons and vision with deacons. Life group leaders. We do have some of that going on currently, as I had mentioned, with life group leaders reaching the different people that are in the all the different life groups. So we have almost 200 people in our church that are in life groups, and the life group leaders reaching out to that number. So I guess you could say we're halfway there. But there is some room. I think that's an awesome vision, and I'm glad you brought that up. We would love to see just keep moving in that direction all the more. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and maybe even bringing deacons officially involved.
Yeah, it's the Moses principle, right? Yeah. It's Exodus. What is the chapter 19 or what? I forget which chapter it is in Exodus where his father-in-law comes to him and he says to Moses, "Hey, you can't." One person can't do this, right? And so you have to divide the assembly into groups of hundreds and groups of 50s and groups of 10s, and so that every individual is being cared for, but it's being cared for under the oversight of the elders. And so how that looks may be different in each local church, but that's the heartbeat that we have as elders, is how can we be faithful to shepherd these people in a way that's accountable to God? Well, it's by equipping leaders and training faithful men to be faith, you know, to train other faithful men, to train other faithful men and women for the glory of God. And so pray with us in that end. And if you have a desire to help us shepherd and care and visit and pray, this is a partnership. This is a family. So we do this together. It's wonderful. What other questions do you have? Got time for one more question if somebody has one before we would officially dismiss, and then we'll hang around for other questions if you want.
How does the leadership, because it does seem that we try, I feel bad because I have actually gone up to people and introduced myself and realized they've been coming for years. And so how does the leadership when we do have all the new different people that are coming, and how do you help to get that out to whether it's life group leaders? Because we kind of quote unquote have an official sign up, but throughout the year, how do we get people, help the direct people get involved? Mm-hmm. I guess.
That's a great question, Robert. As a church gets larger, it gets harder and harder. And just as you said, you see somebody and they say, "Oh, I've been coming here for a while." A little awkward, but one thing that I try to do personally is talk to every new person in the church. I always send out a card to anybody who says that they're new. Try to make contact with them and ask them about the. And I always mention the life group ministry, and so that's like the first place that we try to steer people is getting plugged in with a life group, so they can start building a community within the church. So you're not, I mean, it's overwhelming. You got over 500 people that are here. You're a new person walking into that. So try to break that down by turning to the life group ministries. So try to plug them in with a life group. And I think of one couple who just recently started coming to our church from a very small church, got plugged in with the Holman's life group. And I'll kind of follow up with them here and there, and they say, "Oh yeah, it's working out great," and they're just starting to feel connected to other people. So that's kind of the first thing, and then it just builds from there. But if they get connected with a life group just right off the bat, you just start seeing, they start feeling like they have a group in the church that they're serving with and who's caring for them and ministering to them, and they just, you know, start becoming part of Newcastle a lot quicker. But and then it can go a variety of directions from there. Some say that there aren't too many that show up and say, I just want to serve in this capacity right off the bat. That doesn't usually happen, but usually it's they're looking to build friendships, build relationships. So how do we, you know, start there? Yeah. Is that, mostly?
If I can add just to that real quick. Yeah. So one of the ways that it helps to connect new people is wearing name tags. So that's a very strategic thing. Sometimes we laugh about the name tags, but it's actually a very strategic, intentional effort of our church, that because it helps introduce people and remind people of names. As a leader, as one of the pastors, I have this special privilege. I'm so thankful for it. Every Tuesday, what time is it now that we meet to pray?
We've changed it. I think we're at 10:30 now.
10:30 now, yeah. It used to be a different time. But every Tuesday, the pastors gather together to pray for our church family. And what we do first, before we pray, through all of the requests that come in on the connection cards, is we go through our MIA report. Now, I know you don't get to see the MIA report, but that we really value those connection cards. I mean, that when you turn that in, and when we ask you to record your attendance, some of you, we know you never turn it in because you show up on their MIA every single every single week. And we're like, oh yeah, they were there again. They don't ever fill out the form. But if you don't fill out that card in, I think it's three consecutive weeks, your name pops up on that list. And we're not trying to be a big brother. We're trying to be faithful. We're trying to be faithful to shepherd our people. And so guess what? A new person shows up at Newcastle, and they come once, and that gets put in the system with all of our other information, right? And then if they don't come back, or if they show up on the MIA, and then we're like, well, who is this? And we do Facebook stalking, and we say, oh, I've seen that person. You know, that's who that is. And we reach out, and we minister, and we pursue. And for you, you know, we have the same thing all every week, where it's like, okay, was this person here? Was this, you know, they showed up here, but were they really here? Oh yeah, they were here. And so we say, okay, we mark your attendance for you, because we watch and we can actually see from the pulpit who's here, you know, and that type of thing. But that's a benefit that we have as pastors, that we really take serious trying to get to know. And what better way to get to know you than to pray for you, right? And so that's something we do. I am so blessed that we get to do that as pastors every Tuesday at 10:30 or whatever time it is now that we do
well,
that.
And it's so. Even kind of fun. Some of you, we'll find out that the sheet will show that you haven't been here in 3 weeks, and it's honestly, it's kind of fun to make the phone call and find out, oh yeah, we were here last week, you just didn't see us.
Yeah.
And so, well, can I pray with you? And it's still a great, just a great contact.
Yeah.
And those things are, those are obviously pastoral, right? So you don't necessarily see those. One of the things that I, just thinking about what you're talking about, Robert, that where you meet somebody and you find out they've been going here longer than you have. When they put up at the end of the service, and I don't know if we've done it at least recently, but this 2-minute drill. I mean, I would encourage each of you here, right, at the end of a service, when you stand up, go meet somebody that doesn't have a name tag on. I mean, you'll certainly be wearing yours because, right? You'll be wearing yours. And so you won't meet any of these people because they all have name tags on. But I just really appreciate that. Take 2 minutes, right? And then you can go and do whatever else it is that you do. But take 2 minutes and go meet somebody. Go find somebody that you maybe haven't seen before, or maybe you have seen before. I introduced myself to somebody a couple of weeks ago. I'm certainly been coming here for a year. And I don't know who they are, right? I just don't. And that's to my shame, but at some point, fix it next Sunday, right? You can meet those folks, and let's be people who are not afraid of that meeting, right? We have lots of things in common because we're here. And so let's be people that put ourselves out there to say, right, here's my name. You can see my name tag. Not that, but I'll be used to this eventually when I take it off. But just meeting people, it's something. It's not very easy for me to do, right? I'm an accountant, and I'll tell you, the accountant, how do you know if your accountant is outgoing? because he looks at your shoes instead of his own. You know, I mean, so that's not my thing, right, to just go up and meet people. But through a lot of Kevin's encouragement, I mean, that's how you make people feel welcome here, is come and ask their name and to the best of your ability, try to remember it. I don't always, and I've actually had to ask people their name again and ask it again the third time. Turns out they don't care, right? If you're actually nice to them, they don't care. They'll tell you their name again. And so I just encourage you to put yourself out there. It's a low-risk proposition that I think God calls you to. Yes, sir, Bill.
I really haven't got a question so much as an observation.
Oh, man.
We're all Christian covered. We come to one service or the other. We sit in the same chair in that service week after week. We know the people right around us. I was challenged a few years ago in our life group to actually sit in different places. I think I offended people when I did that.
We've tried the left side, and it's the right side's more accommodating. Sure.
And I will admit I failed mentally at it, but it is a tool.
Sure.
Yep.
Now, that's a great idea, Bill. And it kind of goes along with what Kyle said here, and sorry, now we're going long, but you know, just when we take a measurement, you think about how many spiritual conversations have you had with people that you don't know, right? And my number is probably one last year. If you do two, that's 100% improvement, right? I mean, and if everybody in this church does that, right? I mean, we're not talking about that you have to sell all you have and everybody move to somewhere far away. Right? I mean, this is this art of neighboring, when God brings your neighbor to sit next to you at your church, introduce yourself to him, right? I mean, these are small things where God is putting those people, that he's putting them close to you so that you can be used of him to minister to them. And it's small things. We're creatures of comfort. You can find us same week, same service, same place every time, and so I'm guilty of it myself. So I appreciate the encouragement to shake it up a little, you know, take God's spirit with you to a different place.
Carolyn?
Yeah, when you have a visitor come, sign in, does someone go and visit them that week, or wait till they've been here two or three times, or how do you handle
it? Getting lots of questions.
You asked when a visitor signs in.
Visitor signs in and you've been here. Do you go see them during that next week, or do you wait till they have come and sign in and you're done?
If somebody marks the card and says a visitor, I always send a card to that handwritten card to them, just kind of introducing myself and reaching out in some way, and sometimes a phone call. It varies, but that's always the standard thing, making sure there's always something that goes out that's personal, not like a form letter or anything like that. Did that kind of answer your question there, Carolyn?
Yeah, okay. Two
some. Days. Usually visiting is usually, for me, if there's somebody like nursing homes, someone who can't make it to church. So there's quite a few people that are in nursing homes or at home. They can't make it, or hospital visits. So those would take priority, just getting to those.
As a matter of process, we don't visit newcomers as a matter of process right now. It's not a bad idea, but if you wanted to volunteer for that, let us know.
Taking volunteers.
We should probably close, but... So I'm going to close this with prayer, and that will allow anybody who needs to go to go. But we'll stay here until you stop asking questions. I'm going to just close so that if somebody needs to go, we don't keep you longer than you told the babysitter you would be gone. So let me close this with prayer, and then we'll stay right here, and you can keep asking questions however long you want. All right? Let's pray. Father God, what a joy to be part of Newcastle Bible Church. Father, please understand that our heart is not bragging. We are not proud about who we are. We are just humbly thankful for what your Spirit is doing in spite of us, among us. And we love this church. We love every person here, just as we look out, and there's personal relationships, and there's history, and there's stories, and there's testimonies of your grace. And Father, you are very kind to us. We're not perfect, but we are dependent and we are thankful. And so we just praise you for what you're doing here. Please continue to protect us from the evil one. Please continue to grow us with the head, heart, hands, and home of Christ's likeness. Help us, Father, to be people who truly pray, people who truly know your word, people who truly love each other well, people who are ambassadors and live on mission for Christ. Just help us to grow in the grace and knowledge of you. Father, use us however you want to use us as a church family. We are yours, and you are worthy of whatever sacrifice or whatever suffering or whatever hardship you would take us through, for you are good, and you are eternal, and you have forgiven our sins. Hallelujah. We praise you, and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you are dismissed. Thank you for coming. If you have any other questions, ask away.